The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side and issue number 122. And we don't know the title yet, right, John?
Right. We do not.
Hey, you don't really want to name the two books, either of the two books you picked.
I don't think so.
All right. Which I really like both of my books. Which did I sell to you? Which one do you like? And we'll name the title after that.
Actually, you did a pretty good job of selling both of them, but I think I'm more interested in Stray Dogs. That's probably the one I'll read first.
Gotta love those puppies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great, they're both great books, so they can see in the show notes. All the books are right there. There's no big secret. But yeah, all right. Issue number 122, Stray Dogs. John, we had a lot to talk about. We got plenty of WandaVision.
We do.
There's still plenty left on the table. I feel like we could have talked about more on that. That was lot to do there, but we're very much looking forward to the next couple of weeks, obviously.
For sure.
And lots of news. What was your favorite piece of news? See how I changed it up and gave you
my favorite piece of news? I really liked, not so much the news itself, which is the casting for Supergirl, Sasha Kelly. That news was fine, but I mentioned in the show I think really you should watch find the YouTube clip where she gets the news that she was cast.
Yeah.
It's such an up kind of fun moment, for her. But it's infectious. Like it's just really great. So that was my favorite thing, to talk about and kind of recommend everybody to watch.
I'll try to find that and put it in the show notes.
Yeah. It's very easy to find. But
then it'll be easy to put in the show notes.
Yeah, very easy to find. It's like a two-minute clip. It's not very long, so it's very watchable.
All that, tons more, plenty more. You can look at the timestamp. So let's get into the store.
All right.
Oh, John, so nice to hear that door chime again. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
I was down here last week, right outside the door.
Nice to hear the dulcet tones of your co-host.
You've been holding on to that all week?
No, just five or six seconds, really.
Just came to you, huh?
Just came to me when you talked about the bell.
Yeah, what'd you think of my impromptu podcast last week from right outside friendly Arkham Comics and Games?
Yeah, if I would have known, I would have left the key under the mat.
Oh, I didn't. I think the kryptonite got taken away with a snowplow or something.
Yeah, blew away. Yeah, there was no power anyway, so I don't know why you'd want it. It was probably warmer outside than it was inside. But
yeah, you guys, let's talk about that for a second. How's everybody doing down there? How are things going for you? I heard Houston got hit pretty bad.
We got hit pretty hard. It's one of those things. Yeah, well, we do. It's
floods, it's blizzards.
Yeah, it's not one thing, it's another. But
heat. The heat, you know, damn it.
The thing is, you know, our winter storm is just like a Tuesday afternoon for you guys. But, you know, when
you
I
get
describe
a good 2 to 3 inches?
Yeah, not even.
No,
Yeah, not even. But it was more just the grid. I mean, it just, you know, we got down into the teens, you know, into the tens and twelves. Which is cold, you know, I mean, it's cold anywhere, but
that's
cold for us, you know.
We call it cold, too.
Yeah, well, I know, but I'm just saying, you get worse. But, I mean, for us, that's, like, historic. Like, you know, it's as cold as it's been in 100 years. And it just crippled the grid. Like, I learned more about, like, the power grid in ERCOT and Texas than I ever wanted to know. But apparently, at some point in the past, Texas made the decision to not be part of the national power grid. So Texas is the only state that has its own independent power grid. And it was not equipped to handle the load that was put on it by these temperatures. Even though there was at least a week's notice for ERCOT, which is the agency that governs the power in Texas, to make plans for this. But yeah, it literally crippled the system. And so they instituted on Monday morning, they were going to start doing rolling blackouts. And, you know, everybody was going to go up, you know, go down for a couple of hours and they were going to roll. But the problem is that as they started taking everybody down, they couldn't put anybody back on. And
nice.
We ended up just being down for days and days. So, on top of that, that caused problems with the water.
Right.
You know, in certain cities, because the power went down and they weren't able to keep the I don't know exactly what the terminology, but basically the cleanliness of the water. So, you know, we went under boil water notices and we couldn't shower or eat or drink anything with the water. And so, you know, you're supposed to boil water in houses that have electric heat and have no way to boil water. Couldn't get clean water anywhere because it was sold out like a hurricane. You know, it was just a mess. Now, it hit us to varying degrees. Like, we didn't have to put up with all of that. To be honest with you, we were fairly comfortable for most of it. Our power went down Monday morning. When I woke up Monday, we had no power. And once I realized by noon that the rolling blackout was not really
coming
a thing,
back, it's yeah, not it rolling.
Wasn't it wasn't coming back.
Gutterball.
You know, my mom had been texting me and wanted to know how we were doing, and she still had power. So we made the decision, at least as long as she had power, that we were going to go stay over there. So Monday afternoon, we packed up and went to mom's house, and we were good there. You know, Tuesday night, at about right before we were getting ready to go to bed Tuesday night, I noticed that, you know, I'm part of a neighborhood Facebook group, and they had said the power came back on in our neighborhood. It's, you know, 10 o'clock at night. We were getting ready for bed. So I was like, well, let's just go to bed. We'll get up in the morning. We'll go home. By the time I woke up in the morning, our power had already gone back off again. It was on for a couple of hours, and then it went down.
I think they're rolling it in the wrong direction.
Yeah, yeah. So... so this was Wednesday morning by that time. I had a couple errands to run in the morning, so I went out and did a few things. And when I got back to my mom's house, she no longer had power. So we, at that point, decided to come back to my house because at least I have a fireplace that, you know, we could run the fireplace and at least be warm in the living room. So we did that, and then, long story short, right before we were going to bed Wednesday night around 10 o'clock, the power came back on, and, you know, it stayed on for us. So
that must have been right after I left the store.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had just been talking, actually.
Right.
We had been texting back and forth, and, you know, so it was right after that. But, and, you know, we were fortunate. Like, where I live, we didn't have to go under the water, the boil water notice, so... we didn't have that. Now, unfortunately, my mother did. And even though she got power, like when she went home Thursday morning, her power was back. But they were under the boil water notice until Monday afternoon. So, you know, and that kept a lot of restaurants from being able to open. It kept a lot of things from happening still. So, you know, it was really over like a 7-day period that things were pretty rough. For a lot of places. So, you know, and my store didn't have power. I was closed for 3 days.
Yeah.
It's played hell with, you know, transportation and UPS. I still don't have comics from 2 weeks ago. I don't have this week's books. I don't have last week's books. Don't have any idea when I will have them. Yeah. Just a lot of BS, really. And it's like a lot of stuff that just really feels like it didn't have to happen, you know. Like, there should have been more prep for this. We had notice. It wasn't like it just stuck
right
up on us. And to,
yeah, it's not
to
like the
not
blizzard
have,
of 78 up here where they didn't right know that was back and then. They didn't know that was going to happen. But
and to not have, you know, it, basically to not be prepared and then not have any answers. It was just 3 days of, well, just hunker in place and be patient. Well, yeah. Meanwhile, people were dying. You know, people literally froze to death in their homes. People died from carbon monoxide poisoning because
yeah
they were trying to run their cars. They were trying to, you know, and I mean, again, I'm not saying that these are all the most intelligent things. you know, because people were running their barbecues in their house and things like that. But, you know, you're cold.
But that's what, I mean, up here.
People are trying to stay warm, you know, right. And.
Down there, you know, where you don't get cold, a lot of people don't, you don't have those PSAs going around. Like, we have that up here. Like, don't do this. Right. Don't run propane heaters in your house.
Well, and the other thing is like, we don't have 100 blankets or winter coats
or,
you know, a lot of this stuff. So,
Joe was asking that about you. He's like, do they have winter stuff? I go, they do, but their winter stuff is to prep for like 40s and 30s.
Well, right. Like, my winter coat is your spring coat. You know, it's just a jean jacket, basically, or, you know, a light jacket. I don't really have – Lydia does, because Lydia runs cold, you know, so she has some heavy jackets. But I don't really, you know, I
– You guys were up here in the summer and she thought it was cold.
Yeah, like I said, Lydia runs cold, you know, all the time. You know, she's always cold. So she has scarves and sweaters and all that stuff. But, you know, and I mean, again, I have enough stuff to layer. I never really get that cold anyways. But, it did get cold in here.
I bet.
So yeah, it was just, it feels really unnecessary that, you know, we had to put up with that. But, you know, it is what it is.
Well, hopefully everybody learns from it. I know you and I have had conversations about how you're prepping for the next one. So we'll get you taken care of there, so you'll never go through this again.
Yeah, like, I can't guarantee I'll never have to boil water again. But, you know, Lydia and I, it's funny, we were just talking about this when we were at dinner, because, you know, we're off Thursdays and we go grocery shopping. And, like, we're going to buy a case of water every week that we go shopping to put in our closet. For a couple of months, you know, to the point where we'll have, like, you know, eight or nine cases of water put away. So if we do have to worry about boiling water, we'll just have clean water to drink, you know.
Right.
And, you know, my mom, she was lucky with that, too, because, you know, she's a preparer. You know, she has, you know, especially with the COVID stuff, you know, she's got her garage is full of toilet paper and paper towels and bottled water. So... she was prepared with that stuff, but we don't really do that. Like, I've got some toilet paper put aside, like, for emergency, but I don't really keep water and stuff like that, because we always have it in the house. So, you know, we're going to buy that stuff and we're going to prepare, and we'll be very prepared for the next power outage, wherever, you know, whenever that may happen. But I resolved myself to never ever having to deal with that again.
Yeah, it's not that expensive to prep for it. It's not, I mean, it's a little bit to do, not like what you and I were talking about, but you don't have to go crazy and you'd be fine. I ran literally my neighborhood out of this house in 2011.
Yeah.
And because we had a couple more power outages, and now the rest of the neighborhood has pretty much all the same stuff I have.
Right.
And everybody's like, we're not doing that again. But 2011, we were out for like 7 days.
Yeah.
And people were leaving my house and coming back for breakfast in the morning and going off to work. And we were the only ones that had power.
Yeah.
So, and I grew up with that. That's why I did it. And when I built my house, I was like, I'm prepping for, I can be self-sufficient. I have well water. I have this, that. So, but you learn from it. I learned when I was a kid. I saw what happened. So we had our own issues at our house when I was a kid. So I'm sure most of Texas will learn from that. This won't happen again, you know. And if it does, you'll be prepared.
Well, it won't happen to a lot of people on a personal level. I can't guarantee the state will do it. You know, because again, you hear from everybody, oh, well, we're going to launch investigations and heads are going to roll and this and that. But, you know, when you get to the reality of it and people realize the cost involved with upgrading our infrastructure compared to the once every 10 years that this may happen, and it'll end up just because people were mad last week. But, you know, when you talk to them this week and you propose raising their taxes, nobody's going to want that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah. I can't.
I know, like,
I don't
a
think
year
this,
from now.
Yeah. I can't think of any change that'll happen in a meaningful way at the state level, but on a personal level, a lot of people will be, you know, more prepared.
Well, a lot of it is, you know, not to go down this road, but a lot of it is you guys just aren't prepared for that kind of weather.
Right.
Because you never get it.
Right.
There's
we just didn't expect it. Right. We didn't expect it.
And And to spend all of that money, you would be better served, instead of raising everybody's taxes, you'd be better served to take that money and prep for yourself for the once in a lifetime, if this happens again or something. But
at least
on a personal level.
Even talking about it leading up to the week, I was like, I didn't really do anything to prepare because I was like, we won't lose power where we live. I said, everything in our neighborhood is buried. You know, there's no lines to fall. There's nothing. I never even considered that the grid would collapse. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was just like, you know, there's nothing above ground where, you know, everything
is
buried.
Yeah, but is it buried? So, is it buried deep enough below what would be end up being a frost?
I don't know that was issues. Well, I don't know that we got cold enough that it would have froze deep underground. You know, it got into the tens and the teens, but
right,
it wasn't sustained long enough that it was going to, like, go, I don't know, 10 feet underground or wherever the hell it is. But yeah. I just didn't take it seriously. You know, I was like, oh, we'll be fine. We'll have power. You know, it's no big deal.
Yep.
You know, I drip my water, make sure my pipes didn't freeze, you know, but
right.
You know, like I said, you just don't consider the grid collapsing. And like I said, I had no idea we were not on a national power grid or anything like that. Why would I ever need to know that?
You know? My town's been disconnected. There's only, when we first moved here, there was one way in. We lost power. It was like, all right, it'll be a day or two.
Right.
Because there was no rerouting. So.
Right.
Oh, well.
So anyways, a lot of got 30 minutes of this on our comic book podcast.
Yeah. Well, hey, the comic books were delayed. We need to know why. But hey, anyways, let's get to some we've got tons of stuff. I know we just ranted on about that, but we have a ton of stuff tonight, whenever you're listening to this. Are you caught up on WandaVision? You watch that on Fridays, don't you?
I did. I'm caught up. Yeah.
I know.
Well, I mean, was able to, you know, I might not have been able to if I didn't have power.
Oh, that's true too.
But yeah, I was able to get caught up. So
watch it by the light of your phone.
Yeah, exactly.
but we got a lot of news to get to, and we got four individual books this week.
Yeah.
Four books. I didn't read your books, and maybe you read mine, but I don't know.
I didn't really
read
anything.
I love my two books.
I only read these two books because they were DC. I had them. Otherwise, I would. There's no way I would have read either one of these books.
What? DC pulled through for you?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, I didn't have any problems with DC. Lunar was able to get our deliveries out on time. Yeah.
Do I have to blur that? Do I have to take that out and post?
I know. I'm telling you. I didn't have any issues. I got all my DC books.
You just ranted about the entire state of Texas, and then the next thing to come out of your mouth is no problems with DC.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a sign of the apocalypse.
I know. It is. It's the end times.
And we know how much you like post-apocalyptic.
That's right. It's my
storylines.
Yeah. All right, I know. I'm living in a post-apocalyptic right now. So,
all right, let's get to this news because we got a crap load to get to tonight.
We do, and there's a whole bunch more that came out this afternoon.
You were saying
that
Paramount Plus or Paramount. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Paramount Plus, which is currently CBS All Access. For those that don't know,
I call it PP for short.
Yeah. So PP is launching next Thursday on the 4th. If you're currently a CBS All Access subscriber, you know, you'll have Paramount Plus. It's just basically rebranding. If you don't have it, it's another streaming service that you'll have to evaluate whether or not you want. Now, it looks like from some of the news that came out today is that it's they're hitting the ground running, almost like Disney Plus, and they're actually going to have a lot more going. It seems like than like HBO Max had when they launched. A few months
ago. Some new original content.
A lot of new stuff. So they had a big investor call today where they kind of unveiled a lot of their plans for what they've got coming up over like the first year of their launch. So the first thing that they announced was kind of like their version of the day and date release for their big theatrical movies.
Oh.
So kind of similar to HBO Max, but a little bit different in the sense that they're going to give the theaters 30 days. So 30 days after a major theatrical release, you'll be able to watch the movie on Paramount Plus. Their big marquee movie that they kind of headline the story with is Top Gun 2. So that'll be their kind of like their first big release.
Okay.
I don't know what the theatrical date is on that, but again, basically, you'll be able to watch it for free.
Well, the trailer said 2020.
Yeah, it's true. So it's already come out, and that means when this launches next week, we'll have it.
Right.
So I think that's pretty cool. You know, like a lot of people, you know, a lot of people like what HBO Max is doing, but there's a lot of people that don't, theater owners in particular. So I think this is a nice compromise where, you know, you give them 30 days to have soul run. Because again, most of these movies do the bulk of their business in the first weekend to week and a half or so.
Right.
So giving them 30 days, I think is a fair thing. But then, you know, if you don't want to go to the theater, you know, a month isn't too long to wait. And it's quote unquote free as long as you have your subscription to the service.
For all intents and purposes, they just bumped it up by 2 months.
Yeah, right.
It's typically been 3 months.
Right. So, but yeah, I like that compromise though. I think that's pretty good. The next announcement, and this is the one that I'm most excited about, is they announced a sub studio that they're forming called Avatar Studio. And it is going to be dedicated to expanding the world of Avatar The Last Airbender. So they are going to be developing spin-off movies and series, all animated, that take place in the world of Avatar and Legend of Korra. The other part that's really exciting about this is, if you recall, a few months ago we talked about the Netflix live-action version that is being worked on and how the original showrunners from Avatar had left that project due to creative differences. They are heading this studio.
I was going to say, let me guess where they're popping up.
Yeah. So this is definitely going to be their vision.
Cool.
They're in charge of it. So we're going to see more spinoffs to both of those shows. And I couldn't be more excited for that. Like I love Avatar and Korra. And I can't wait to get more of this. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
The other thing is, of course, they're the huge, you know, they're the home of Star Trek these days.
Yeah.
So lots more Star Trek things in development. The Halo series that was going to be on Showtime has been picked up by Paramount Plus. So it's now going to live there instead. So yeah, they got a lot of really good stuff coming. And again, there was more stuff that kept coming out. I just didn't write it all down.
Right.
So I'm sure by tomorrow there'll be like a consolidated list out there somewhere where you can see all of this. But, got me really excited for Paramount Plus though. Like I was already going to have it anyways,
right,
because I have CBS All Access. I wasn't going to drop that because I got more stuff. But there's a lot of good stuff coming. Like, and for the price, you know, if it keeps the same pricing model as what CBS All Access has, it's a pretty cheap streaming service.
Right.
You know, for all that you're going to get.
Do you have the commercial-free version? Or
I do have the commercial-free version.
It's like, what's that, like,
$9.99?
Like
11,
10 bucks?
Yeah, I think I paid 10 or 11 bucks a month for it. And, you know, again, that's cheaper than Netflix or HBO Max or any of this other stuff. So, and like I said, they're going to have a lot of good stuff there. So, so it looks like it's going to be cool. I can't wait for next week. Now, I know a lot of this stuff isn't going to be available on launch day.
Right.
But, you know, I'm really kind of looking forward to that.
So, yeah, that's going to be fun. Ever since they announced it, I was like, oh, cool, because we already have it, and we're just getting more stuff for the same money.
Yeah, but
it might go up a couple bucks eventually. But
it might, and I think it has enough stuff coming to it that if I didn't already have it, I would get it. You know what I mean? Because it looks like there's some good stuff coming. So
yeah.
So yeah, that's cool.
Cool.
And that's really all I have on that. I know there's more, but
yeah.
I think those were the
things
we'll
that got me. We'll see stuff over the next
days. They kind of got me.
And
yeah, but those are the things that got me excited anyways that I kind of remembered. So
cool.
So yeah.
All right.
Moving on. Hey, we have a new Supergirl.
Yes, we do.
Actress called Sasha Kelly was cast as Supergirl for the Flashpoint movie. So I didn't know who Sasha was. Apparently she is on one of the soap operas, One Life to Live or Young, one of the daytime soap operas.
Oh, I love her on that.
Yeah, yeah, but she's gotten a lot of recognition for, you know, for her role on whatever show she plays. But I didn't know her. I had never seen her. So if you haven't watched the YouTube video where she gets the news that she was cast as Supergirl, you need to watch it because is like the happiest thing you'll see all day. You know, like she is just like, you know, so blown away that she, you know, she gets the role in this movie. And, you know, she's, I think, Colombian or Argentinian. So, you know, not a blonde white lady.
So, she will be.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know. But yeah, look, hey, we're getting Supergirl in a live action movie, which is great. Like they're throwing the kitchen sink into this Flashpoint movie. So, like, who knows what else we're going to get. But yeah, I think that's great news. And like I said, do yourself a favor and watch that YouTube video because it's pretty, it'll make you smile.
Ah, she's a Boston native.
Is she? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was around here. You can find it around here. It was like, Boston native, Sasha Kelly will play Supergirl.
Nice.
I think they could, I mean, I think they'll make her blonde. I mean, they've done it with other characters, you know.
I know they have, but I don't think they will.
Really?
They went out of their way, again, not to bring race into it or whatever. I'm sure they just cast the best person for the role. But, I mean, they went out of their way, it seems, to not cast a blonde white lady. You know what I mean? So I don't think they'll turn her into that for the movie. But I've been wrong before.
Yeah, well,
so,
I mean,
we'll see.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I've seen Latin people bleach their hair. I mean, I don't think it would be outside the norm, but I mean, I don't know. But you're right. Why? I mean, she could, I guess, but that would be the first Supergirl to have
dark
hair.
I feel like if that's
hair.
The look you wanted for the character, that's what you know, you would have cast that. So,
why limit to yourself to a hair color that's so easy to change?
Yeah.
But
I don't know. We'll see.
Yes, we will.
Department of Truth.
I was so excited for this.
Has been optioned for a TV series, and it looks like James Tynion is going to be part of the writing team for that. So that is pretty exciting.
That I think is it. That has the potential of blowing up bigger than the X-Files.
Yeah.
You haven't read this week's.
I haven't read this week's.
No, oh man,
but I'm pretty caught up on the series.
Yeah, you know the series. That could change. I mean, I think as a series, like a TV series, that would be crazy because you could do episodic stuff with having a slight thread through it. But it's just that book alone. We said it after the first book. This is going to be a great TV series. It's like it's insane.
It was almost written for that.
Right. It's got everything in it.
It's a great
conspiracy theories that they throw out there that make you go, it's like the Robert Langdon stories, you know, like with all the conspiracies and all the symbols and everything. And it takes all of that and it's like on steroids. It's awesome.
And they just need to cast David Duchovny as Lee Harvey.
Lee Harvey.
We'll be good to
go. You'll like this week's book. This week's is really good, yeah. The whole Lee Harvey thing and everything, how he ends up there and stuff. It's pretty good. You'll like it.
Cool.
But yeah, I was super
looking forward
excited
to getting books so I can read it.
But yeah, I was super excited to see that. I can't wait for that to come out. That's so great.
Yeah, me too.
It's awesome for Tynion, too.
It sounds like it will, but I hope it comes to a Netflix or Amazon Prime or something of that.
Paramount Plus.
I don't necessarily want this to be a CBS drama because it needs to be able to breathe. And, you know, they need to be able to.
No, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so.
Maybe Hulu.
Anywhere where they're not bound by the FCC, you know what I mean?
Right. We'll host it here.
Yeah, we'll do it.
We got openings any day but Thursdays.
Right. We're pretty wide open, so just tell us when you want it to be.
I'll have our people get in touch with Tynion's people.
There you go. Yeah, call in some favors.
I did. I got a donut. It was plain.
Yeah.
All right.
With no hole. So it's really just dough. It's a cruller.
We don't have time for humor this week, John. Come on, we got a lot to get to.
Hey, I'm trying to move on. You're the one that keeps cracking jokes.
Silly me.
I know. Hey, John Wesley Shipp is.
I am so glad you got through that with the right.
has signed on to reprise his role as the Flash on Stargirl.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so he's going to be, you know, the Golden Age Flash, which is kind of really what he already was, and, you know, part of the Justice Society. So, yeah, this is really cool. I mean, it just finally brings Stargirl into the Arrowverse, I believe. Now, it could just be him playing Flash again and it not be part of the Arrowverse, but I think that would be a mistake. So,
well, that's what he's doing. He's playing the Flash in that, but... What I was wondering is, like, if he's coming in to play the Flash on Stargirl, are they potential? Because he's gone from the Arrowverse. He died.
Oh, you're right.
Right?
Yeah.
So right. Does that mean Stargirl, are they doing like what Marvel did, the MCU did with Captain Marvel? Is this in the future of the Arrowverse? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
Wouldn't that be cool? Because
could be in the past of the Arrowverse too,
but he's dead. He died in the Arrowverse.
Yeah, but in the past of the Arrowverse, he would still be alive.
How?
It's in the future of the Arrowverse that he would be dead.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. In the past of the Arrowverse, which is
right.
That's what did I say? That's what I said. Because
the future. You know, you said the future.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant the past. Yeah. Like Captain Marvel was in the past. Is in the past to the MCU. Yeah.
Could be.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's could be.
Well,
I think doesn't it take place in the I thought Stargirl took place in like the 80s or 90s, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe. I don't remember. I
don't either. I'd have to go back and watch it again. But
when I saw that he's coming on, I'm like, how are they? Because all the universes are together now. So I don't know.
And
what
he's dead.
And he died.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. He could just be playing the Flash and maybe it's not the Arrowverse Flash. You know what I mean?
Right.
It could just be the same guy, you know, playing the same part in a different show. But yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
You know, obviously we'll get to season two when it comes out, and we'll have all our answers. So
all right, yeah, I'll wait till then.
I like him, you know, so I'm just happy to see him back as the Flash. So that's cool. Got a couple of rumors. Looks like. Well, the rumor is that Warner Brothers is looking to replace Amber Heard in Aquaman 2 with Emilia Clarke. So, like, I have nothing against Amber Heard, and I think she's fine as Mira, but I like Emilia quite a bit, too.
And
so
she has quite the chemistry with...
Yeah, yeah, and that would it would be kind of like a reunion with Khal Drogo.
Yeah, exactly.
There. So, yeah, I think that would be actually pretty cool. Not that I'm like advocating for Amber to lose her job, but if they're going to replace her, I think Amelia is a great choice. So
yeah, and if she brings the dragons with her, that will bring a whole other world to the under the sea.
Like if what's his name, Jason Momoa grabs his brother Orm and gives him a golden helmet.
Oh. That was awful.
That's not nearly as dirty as it sounds. But if you've watched Game of Thrones, you know.
Yeah, we know. I just...
all right. Hey, let's move to the next rumor before I get in trouble. Charlie Cox's Daredevil is rumored to appear in the Secret Invasion series on Disney+.
Yeah.
So again, there's semi... confirmed / unconfirmed rumors that he appeared in Spider-Man 3 as Daredevil, or maybe as just Matt. We don't know. But it looks like he may be suiting up again.
Yeah, and we also had the invasion, we also had the news this week that supposedly what you call it, was it Punisher or Jessica Jones are coming back to Disney+ or something. There were rumors of that on Twitter. So, I mean, because their time just ended They're two years with
Marvel
Netflix.
Just got the rights.
They just got the rights back last week. And they were the last two.
Yeah.
Because those were the last two episodes the series that we had. So I can't believe it's been 2 years.
I know. Feels like we just talked about Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was 2 years ago that was on, but maybe it was 2 years from when they filmed it or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe they didn't have 2 years because Jessica Jones, right. I feel like Jessica Jones was...
Was just last year.
No.
We were just talking about Jessica Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Jessica Jones didn't take... We didn't talk Jessica Jones during COVID.
That's true. COVID kind of wiped a whole year out.
Right. Like, we would have been psyched to have Jessica Jones during. Yeah. So it's been.
That's true.
But Jessica Jones, I believe, aired in like, wasn't that May or June?
Yeah.
And maybe. Punisher came in January. So that's been 2 years. Jessica Jones is coming up on it, I think.
Right.
But I can't. That's still a crazy amount of time.
It is. And either way, I liked. You know, some of those shows were better than others. You know, like, I liked Jessica Jones. I wasn't as big a fan of Luke Cage or Iron Fist, but I would love to see...
I'd love to have him back, though.
Yeah, I'd love to see Kristen Ritter back as Jessica Jones. Really love to see... If we only got one, then I really want Charlie Cox.
Right.
Back as Daredevil, because really...
Punisher was good, too.
I still say Daredevil Season 3 is one of the best seasons of TV I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So. You know, if we got anything back, I'd like it to be him, but yeah, who knows?
So good.
Really good stuff. Back to some non-rumor. This is kind of confirmed stuff, but it looks like DC is partnering with Spotify to bring us several new podcast series. There's a Superman, a Batman, and a Wonder Woman, all separate shows. This isn't like a one team up show. They're currently working on like the Sandman adaptation, and I know Marvel had a couple.
They did
like
Wolverine
one.
Yeah, I listened to that one.
So I haven't listened to any of them. I'm actually kind of looking forward to listening to the Sandman. This is pretty cool. To further distance people from having to read comics, which, you know, is kind of the goal for all of us, we'll just put them out where people can listen to them.
Right.
So, hey, yay. That's great.
You can have them playing in your store.
Yeah. As long as I pay for Spotify.
I listened to the Wolverine one, but it was acted out. And it wasn't bad. There was, like, background noise and stuff. And,
right.
But it's... I don't know. I like to read them. I like comics for the art. I think it would be fun for a little bit of backstory if they did podcasts like that. But I think Spotify is just, they're kind of reeling.
Well, and this is, like, these remind me, like, you know, obviously, you know, we do a podcast, right? Like, there's lots of podcasts out there, but for the most part, they're not dramatizations of things. Like, this kind of, to me, is like, what's old becoming new again, because like if you go back to the 40s, like this is how we got our entertainment, right? Like there was radio shows and you had Superman and you had the Lone Ranger and all of these things, and because you didn't have TV, so you listened to all these productions on the radio. And to me, this is kind of what that is all over again.
Right.
So I know I'm interested to see how it goes for them. Like, I don't know if this is really what people want, but I guess we'll find out. I do kind of want to listen to the Sandman one, but like I don't know if that I really want to listen to all these podcasts, because again, I can watch TV, I can read a comic. If I have podcasts going, it's other things, it's not necessarily scripted content.
It's the bright side chat.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, you know, with the 5-hour shows we do now every week, it takes me all week to listen to them. So,
sorry.
So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. You know, anything to bring more people into the world of comics, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean,
really, what people want, but yeah,
we'll see how it goes for Spotify.
Yeah. All right, some Netflix news: Jupiter's Legacy, which is a comic book series from Mark Millar. is going to premiere on Netflix on May 7th. So, kind of looking forward to that. I read the first trade paperback of Jupiter's Legacy, and I kind of liked it. So, I know there's several volumes of it. I haven't read all of it, but it's a pretty good story, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. It'll be something that we can definitely talk about comic book-wise.
Yeah.
Come May 7th.
Yeah, finally. No, finally. Yeah,
finally.
We got like a five-hour show today. Yeah, we need more content. I
know. We need more stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Sony trolled us all day yesterday.
Well, that's what they're good at.
Yeah, so they released what I thought was the title for Spider-Man 3 when I saw it, until I saw a different title an hour later, and then a different title an hour after that, and realized that I was getting trolled by Sony, and we weren't going to get the title for Spider-Man 3 after all. And there were some pretty good ones. Like, I don't know what your favorite was, but mine was Spider-Man Home Fries.
What about the one today?
Or Spider-Man Home Alone 3.
You mean on all of the... did you see the one today, No Way Home?
Yeah, I was getting to that. I was talking about yesterday with all the jokes that
That's on the board.
Yeah, and my jokes were going over your head because you were too busy trying to correct me.
No. I didn't see all that yesterday. I didn't get trolled.
Yeah.
So I was like...
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of them yesterday. They listed like five or six different titles. And like I said, it was different. It was Home Something. Like, it was always right. Spider-Man Home Something Something. And then today we got the official title, which is...
No, I wasn't trying Spider-Man to correct you. 3. I haven't been online much today, so I thought the one that I saw today wasn't it. I thought that's where you were going.
No. So then fast forward till today.
Yeah.
And we did get the official reveal.
That's so funny.
For Spider-Man. Yeah.
No, I saw that one today and I was like, oh, okay. Because I thought that's what you were going to say. Like, all of these were trolls and we still don't have it yet. Release today, I was like, hey, that's pretty funny how they did that. And then you look at the board, and the one thing I did say about it was like all the hexagons that are on there.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty cool. And because that's so important now, apparently.
Yeah.
How much do you think that's going to like pan out into the jewelry industry? Hexagons for like birthday. Here, honey, I got you a hexagon ring.
I don't know.
It's like people are going to love hexagons.
I don't think my wife would be too thrilled if she got a hexagon anything. So unless it was like 3 carats.
Exactly.
But had the 4 C's or 3 C's, right?
But yeah, if you look at that board on it that has the title there, they had some pretty cool things in there. And they did the Far From Home. We did this already. They had the little reasons why they couldn't do it. Home Alone, copyright issues, some funny stuff. But
yeah, so the official title, if we didn't say, is Spider-Man 3 No Way Home.
Yeah.
Don't know exactly what that means, but we'll find out.
See, I don't think when they...
I still like Spider-Man 3 Home Fries better, but, you know, I guess...
See, I don't think he's in his universe at the end of the last one.
Well, that's what I was wondering, too, is, you know, was he... You know, because we had the whole J. Jonah Jameson
thing. Right, he's in the wrong universe.
So he must be in the wrong universe and trying to find his way home. But if there's no way home, that would imply that he gets stuck there, and that wouldn't be good for... the MCU as a whole. So
right. Well,
he has to find his way home eventually.
They'll figure it out, I'm sure.
I think they will, yeah. Although, again, I also read today, and, you know, this doesn't mean anything specifically, but after Spider-Man 3, Tom Holland is no longer under contract with Marvel. So, so we'll have to see what that means for, again, his Spider-Man going forward. I don't think they're done with him, so I'm sure they'll figure out a way to sign him to a more lucrative deal and keep him going. But this is actually his final, you know, he's done his 10 appearances or whatever, you know.
His last hurrah. Of him.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I'm not worried.
And actually, I don't know, technically, I'm not sure if he's under contract with Marvel or Sony, to be honest with you. It's probably Sony. So we'll see. And then the last thing I have, it looks like we have a director for the Blue Beetle movie.
Yep.
Angel Manuel Soto is going to direct the Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle movie. So I am excited for this, although I have a little bit of trepidation because DC has announced a whole lot of movies and projects that never came to light.
Yeah.
So
I'm hoping this happens the other day. Yeah.
Because James Wan was also doing The Trench, and he was, there was all kinds of directors attached to all kinds of things. I would be much happier if we had a script and some production, but getting a director is the first step in the right direction, I guess.
Yeah. We had this discussion the other day with, Mark C with the big C, and he was, he's a big Blue Beetle fan. He kind of gave me some information on their backstory because I don't know Blue Beetle that well. I know Jamie, but I don't know the entire story. But it seems like this is the closest we've been.
Well, it is.
Because we've been talking, like you said, just the Blue Beetle alone. This is probably the fourth or fifth time we've heard about a Blue Beetle movie in production or in discussions or whatever. Right. And now it seems like this is the closest we've ever been to get a director and be like, okay, so we're probably months away from them saying we have a script and we'll be shooting soon or whatever. So
hopefully, hopefully.
Doesn't hurt to get information.
Nope.
Sometimes it doesn't pan out, but oh well. We'll see. Is that all you have?
That's all I have.
All right. News. I got a couple from last week. Did you hear me talk about the tweet from Pop Culture 413? You guys were talking about Jimmy Woo getting his own show and liking the actor Randall Park. He played the father on The Fresh Off the Boat for 6 seasons and was great on that too.
I heard that. I knew that because I think they talked about it on the Ralph Report or something.
Oh, okay.
So I knew that before you said it, but I know we had been talking about it before. Yeah.
Did you also see
that? Yeah, I still haven't – I haven't seen Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah, me neither. Have you seen the new – I'll talk about it in real world anyways. I'll talk about it then. Did you see the Snyder Cut and the aspect ratio? What do you think of that? I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's okay. I guess we're in the IMAX aspect ratio. So instead of having black bars on the sides, I guess we're going to have them on the top and the bottom.
No. Reverse that.
Or the other way around.
Yeah, instead of on the top and the bottom, we get them on the sides, so we lose the sides of our screen. So, but I've been reading a lot about that, what's coming and why he did it. And there's a lot of good articles out there on it. I'm excited for it. I think it's pretty cool. I've seen the two different shots, and it does look pretty cool. I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed on their like regular TVs. I personally don't mind as much with my big screen, but with a regular, if you're looking at a 45, even a 65 inch, you're going to have like you're down to a regular size TV back in the old 32 inch days.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the Snyder Cut. New this week. Go ahead.
Can't wait for it.
I know.
I'm saying I can't wait for it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. According to Vanity Fair, did you see this? Zack Snyder's Justice League will have a hero cameo at the end that will blow hardcore fans' minds.
Yeah, I heard.
Do you care to guess?
I don't know.
Who got?
Green Lantern. I was thinking Green Lantern, but
I don't know if I that. Know. But here's what I think.
That's the thing is like what would blow my mind. I guess is the thing.
Yeah,
I can't really think of anybody that would blow my mind.
I know. So. To me though, it's. Haven't they said, like, this is a one-off? He said he's not doing any more.
Right, so why would we have a cameo at the end? What would that be setting up?
Which I don't think that's true, then. If they're going to have... I believe this part is true. I think there is a cameo coming. But I don't think this is a one-off. I think that if this does well, of course they're going to do more.
I mean, I think if it does well, there's always the potential. But I really kind of believe that they've all gone into this with the mindset that it's one and done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Always, you know, look, if it brings them 80 million new subscribers, then, you know, they're going to take another look at it for sure. But I don't know. I think from Zach's point of view, he doesn't expect to keep
going.
Yeah.
Because of the hassle that this was.
Right.
You know, so. But also, Disney Plus, we have Bad Batch on May 4th. We got that.
Bad Batch May 4th.
Loki on June 11th.
Yep, I saw that today, too.
Yep. And nothing yet on Hawkeye, Miss Marvel, or What If. But right. Those are all slated for this year, so they're probably coming, you know, at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So, more to look
for. Well, actually, we're getting the Bad Batch a little bit sooner than I expected.
Yeah. Yeah, because didn't we just find out about that in September?
Yeah, I didn't think it would be May. I was really kind of thinking that would be like a end of summer kind of fall thing. So, you know, that's one of the things I'm not going to say I don't care about it, but it's lower on my list of things I'm excited for.
Oh, no. But, it'll be fun to get back into that world.
But, yeah, we'll see. Like I said, I wasn't really too interested in the Bad Batch when they were on season 7 of the Clone Wars because I didn't want that.
Right.
When I was watching that show. So this may be great. You know, I don't know, but right now it's not like I'm not chomping at the bit for it. But I think I gave them a little bit of a bad they gave me a little bit of a bad taste because it's just not what I wanted.
Right, that wasn't the storyline you were looking for. And then as right. that season, quote-unquote season, went on, that wasn't even, you know, by the end of it, you were like, you've forgotten about that. That right, was inconsequential right. just, to the rest of the story. So
right, it just didn't play a part in the overall yeah. picture. So, you know, really, those four episodes were just the backdoor pilot for this series.
Right.
Is really all it was.
Which kind of, to your point, didn't do it very good. Justice.
It didn't. You know, it didn't for me. I said, once I get into it, look, it's Star Wars, so I'm already halfway on board anyways.
Right. you had me at Star Wars.
Yeah. Once I get to watching it, I'll probably really enjoy it, but just kind of based on how we were introduced to them, I wasn't super into it.
Right.
So I resented them, DJ, and I really, you know... They really made me angry. So,
I think you'll get over it.
They were not my favorite people.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
I think you'll get over it.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. All right. Are we ready to get to some comic books? You've got sure. quite the list here.
Yeah.
We got lots to get to here as well. And we still have Real World, WandaVision, Kryptonite. So let's get this going. Oh, yeah. John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right, so Batman Black and White, issue number 3. This is the first appearance of a character, I guess, called Maps Mitsugushi. And he, I guess, becomes Robin. So, I don't know. I'm not reading this series, so I don't know anything about this. But, you know, it's a new Robin, at least for this issue. I don't know if it's going anywhere.
Yeah, I haven't read that either.
Yeah, so it looks like the, you know, the cover price.
I think I read the first one, but I don't remember that.
I read part of the first one and didn't get into it, so I,
right.
I didn't.
That's the one I told you to finish by the end. I thought you might like it.
Yeah, I didn't get back to it, though. But yeah, it looks like the cheaper copies are being snapped up on eBay. And, you know, there's been a couple of sales of this now at around the $17 range. So it does have a little bit of interest. It looks like the main cover, the Joshua Middleton cover, is the one that people are looking for. So might be worth grabbing one of these just in case, you know, something happens with the character later on. Captain Marvel number 26, the 1 in 25 variant for this is selling for between $40 and $50. So that's, you know, pretty much double ratio there. Crossover issue number 4, nothing really interested price-wise going on with this necessarily, but there are, it looks like, up to 4 different secret variants on the main cover with this. If you look at them, Madman is colored in like I said, at least four different configurations on the covers. So just for collectors that are kind of trying to have complete collections, you might want to be looking for those. It seems to be an equal split on the covers. None of them are any more rare than the other. So I can't tell you anything more than that because I do not have my books. So I haven't actually gotten to see, you know, what the split right. looks like. I was going to say I didn't have anybody today looking for any one particular, but that's because I didn't have any of them.
Right.
It dawned on me as I was about to say it. and then apparently there's a character called Combo Man, who was, I guess, featured on the back cover of some of the Marvel comics back in the 90s. And he makes an appearance in this book. So,
yeah, I don't know that.
I don't either. I don't know who Combo Man is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know him if I tripped over him, you know, so, but apparently he's there. So, but again, might just be something to look at with these variant covers. Daredevil number 25, third printing came out today. The main covers are selling pretty much at cover price, but there's a 1 in 25 Peach Momoko variant here. I don't know if I have to say anything more than that. Selling for about $80 right now. So, the regular covers are actually selling for a little bit under cover price on eBay. I guess by the third printing on this, people have had enough. So, Marvel Voices Legacy, issue number one. There's a Olivier Coppel, Miles Morales cover here that seems to be the ones people are looking for. It's an open order variant, so it should be several of them out there. But it looks like they're selling for about $10. So,
all right.
If you can grab one at cover price, you might want to do that. A book called Nuclear Family, issue number one, came out today, and it looks like there's a 1 in 15 variant that's selling for between $20 and $30.
We'll have more on that one in checkout.
Okay. Rain Like Hammers, issue number one, had a second printing that came out that's selling for between $6 and $10, so pretty much double cover price.
Story of Houston in the spring.
Yeah, right. You are right. Something is Killing the Children, issue 15. The 1 in 25 variant here are going crazy. Like, these 1 in 25 variants for Something Killing the Children are crazy already. But this one's really nuts. It's selling for between $150 and $175. And I saw sales last week even up over $200 already for this. That, you know, pre-sales, the book hadn't even come out yet.
Wow.
So, crazy. Now, it's a crazy looking cover. You know, it's actually a really nice cover, but the pricing on this is nuts.
Who drew it? Peach?
No, no. And I don't know. I saw the artist, but I don't remember who it was. But yeah, good luck trying to grab one if you want one. And if you do, you're going to pay for them, but, it's really pretty cool. Spawn 315 is the first appearance of, Plague Spawn. So looks like there's a, you know, Spawn's been ordered pretty heavy lately. You know, he's been upticking for a while. Mm. So there's lots of copies of this out here. But you know, the winners are again, the ratios here, the 1 in 50, Greg Capullo sketch cover for this is selling for about $100. So, definitely if you can grab one of those. Stray Dogs, number one. Looks like there was an acetate cover, the D cover, and it's selling for between $25 and $30. So, like, this was something that the retailers had to buy into pretty heavily to be able to unlock the ability to order this cover. I don't know what the numbers were because I didn't order anywhere near that many to get it.
Yeah.
But if the stores are selling them at cover price or less, or, you know, a little bit more rather, you know, you should grab one because they're selling for up to $30.
We'll have more on that one as well.
All right. Symbiote Spider-Man King in Black number 4, 1 in 25 variant here selling for between $30 and $50. Wolverine number 10 has a David Finch 1 in 50 variant cover that's selling for between $50 and $80. Probably closer to 80 at this point. And then X-Men number 18 has a 1 in 50 David Finch cover. What I just said basically is the same. So,
do you want me to cut and paste what you said?
Yeah. Put words in my mouth. Go ahead.
Wouldn't be the first.
All right. It would not, or probably the last. So I'm always surprised by what I say when I listen back to these shows.
We only record it for 20 minutes.
I know. So that is it for Speculator Roundup this week.
Oh, okay. I'll make it longer.
Yeah.
All right. John, say a few words on back issue bonus.
Yeah. So yeah, back issue bonus. Fantastic Four number 94. This is the first appearance of a little character named Agatha Harkness. WandaVision strikes again. Prices are going through the roof in all grades, all conditioned, graded, ungraded, it doesn't matter. An ungraded 9.2-ish copy sold yesterday for $800. A very good copy, which is a much lower grade, sold for over $100. Any grade, people want this book. So, yeah, just crazy. And I think it's just starting. Like, is this going to continue to go? I get the feeling we're going to see Agatha around the MCU for a little bit.
You do?
So, I do.
Huh.
Okay. Black Cotton, issue number 1. This came out last week from Scout Comics. Looks like it's selling for between $10 and $15 currently. So, just another Scout book that's probably under-ordered and in demand. So, Spawn, number 174. This is the first appearance of Gunslinger Spawn. This book has been hot for a while. We've probably talked about it before. But there was an announcement from Todd McFarlane on Monday where he is developing a Spawn universe over there at Image Comics. And he announced a solo series for Gunslinger Spawn. And that sent this book shooting up even faster than Agatha Harkness's Fantastic Four appearance. Raw copies of this are selling for between $350 and $500, while graded 9/8 are selling for around $900. So get your Spawn 174s while you can. Scarlet Witch number 13 from 2017 features Agatha Harkness on the cover. You know, Agatha doesn't appear on a lot of covers, you might be surprised to hear. So when she does nowadays, it means people are looking for it. So this is selling for about $20. Maybe I would still find some of these in some bins around the stores because, like I said, it's just from a couple years ago. And, you know, prior to last week, nobody really gave a crap about it.
Right.
So, I didn't even check mine. I should have checked my store today. But if I had one, I'm sure some customer would have found it and let me know.
Yeah.
When they bought it for $3. Deadpool number 13 has a Addy Granoff, looks like Marvel's 25th anniversary cover. This featured Scarlet Witch and Vision on the cover. So I don't know if you can figure out what that means, but it's selling for about $15 and on the rise. Jupiter's Legacy number 1. This is actually pretty affordable and maybe worth picking up. You know, we just talked about this a little while ago that it's coming to Netflix in May. This is only selling for like $10 right now for the main cover of issue number 1. I think this could be a good series and you know, may have a good following like Umbrella Academy or, you know, Lock and Key and different things on Netflix. So $10 is really almost nothing. You know, like you should go out and find one of these and pick it up if you can, because this could, you know, double or triple after May when this series comes out. And then another one is Department of Truth issue number 1. So, you know, again, the main cover of issue number one is still only selling for between $20 and $25. That's still pretty reasonable. And, again, this show has the potential to be pretty big wherever it lands. And it seems like this one's far enough away that it will build momentum as it, you know, as it gets closer. So
especially when they start casting people.
Yeah.
Because I actually think that's going to be one of those, like, it's going to be a sought after role. I think you know what I mean? I feel like this has huge legs for TV. Like,
I think so,
it's
too.
It's going to be very popular.
This has the story, like the premise of the story lends itself to like multiple seasons. Like this could go on as long as they want it to go on. You know, it's not like a mini series that has a start and an end. Again, in that, for that price range, $20-25, I'd say, you know, grab one of these and put it away, because it may be something. I've got two that I've been holding on to at the store for a while.
I have mine from when it first came out. So
I held them before I knew that this, you know, I knew right from the start that this, you know, was probably going to be a show somewhere.
Yeah.
So I held on to two copies, and I'm not going to bust them out quite yet. I'm going to wait.
It'd be feel silly selling it for $35 now and then have it be like $100 next year.
Right. Hey, this just came out last month. Marvel number 4 has an Alex Ross X-Force and Deadpool cover. Other than, I guess, people like X-Force and Deadpool, I don't know why this is jumping, but selling for between $15 and $20. So, again, it came out in January of 21. You may be able to still find these for cover price out on the shelf.
Oh, so, yeah.
So, you know, hunt for one of those and try to pick one up. That is it for Back Issue Bonus.
All righty. Let's get into FOC. Not many this week.
It's not many. It was kind of short FOC this week. DC has a few new series. Harley Quinn number 1.
A new Harley Quinn stories?
Yeah, new Harley Quinn series. These are all post-future state. You know, we're going to be in the generations, whatever it's called. Infinite Frontier, rather. So Harley Quinn number 1 launches with 3 covers. I actually listed one of them as under the variant covers as well. There's a really, really cool Derek Chu variant cover for this that you know, you may want to pick up. Teen Titans Academy number 1 is launching with 2 covers. And then we have Future State Teen Titans Ruins. So this is the one shot, but this is a little misleading because this is just a reprint. This is just Future State Teen Titans 1 and 2 combined into one reprint book. Teen Titans was one of the big hits of Future State. This thing sold out because of the Red X character that you know, people seem to like. And so a lot of people didn't get a chance to pick it up and read it. So they're issuing this so people can get the story, because the Teen Titans Academy is going to feature this character pretty prominently. So, and it looks like that's just going to have one cover. Cool. From IDW, we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Best of Michelangelo. So this is the last of the 4. None of these were numbered, but this is basically number 4 because they did one of these for each one of the turtles. And Michelangelo is arguably the most popular turtle. So I think this...
Really?
This would be the one. I think so.
Well, you did say arguably, so let's go.
Yeah, let's argue.
I like Raphael.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I like Leo, but I think Mikey's probably the most popular.
So
we all like a different one,
right,
but
you say one's the most popular, and then we both like 2 different ones.
I know. Well, we're nothing if not different, you know?
Okay. So. Next caller breaks the tie. Oh, wait, it's not that kind of podcast.
Yeah, well, what's the one we didn't... He likes Don, so...
Right.
Actually, Donnie's probably my favorite, because...
Really?
Yeah.
I've always been Ralph.
Yeah, I like the bow.
I've always had
Ralph. Staff
and,
yeah. Anyway, Marvel had no variant covers listed that had images, at least. But a couple new series. Alien number 1. And this is the Fox Alien series, is launching in comic book form. And there are when I say multiple covers, probably like 30 covers for this. and then Carnage, Black, White, and Blood, issue number one. This is a 4-issue miniseries. This is the same if you've read Batman Black and White or you're reading Wolverine, Black, White, and Blood. Same thing. Violent Carnage stories, basically. And then from Dynamite Comics, we have Vampirella versus Purgatory, issue number one. And there are more covers for this than there were for Alien. So I still don't know when Dynamite is going to reduce the number of covers they've promised us, because they continue to just pump out. You know, if my FOC has 150 line items on it, 100 of them are Dynamite. And it's only 3 books. You know, so it's so frustrating to go through Dynamite line by line when it's nothing but variant covers that nobody really wants to order.
Right.
So
it is funny when you put it that way, because like most, you know, like customers don't know that, don't get that.
Right. Most customers don't even know how many covers there are because they don't see them.
Right. But for you, like when you go to order, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, I've got to literally slog. I go through it a page, you know, one page at a time, and there's, you know, one book per page.
Yeah.
And as I'm going through, you know, again, FOC loads up, and there's usually around 190 to 240 separate items on an FOC. And more than 100 of them are usually Dynamite, and it's only covering like 3 titles. and it's just insane. To go through that.
I know it's insane.
But the one you have to order, which is like the A cover, is always right in the middle. Because like you could just hit order the A cover, and then if you knew the rest were variants, you could just go into the box and type it up ahead like 15 numbers
right.
and go to the next title. But they strategically place the A cover like right in the middle. So
yeah, it's like, I mean, yeah. Like I've always said though, I mean, it's so great for artists. Because artists are getting a shot, but it's like...
Yeah, it
you
is.
You say but... like, oh, I got a shot. I'm doing a cover. Like, for who? Dynamite. Oh, right. Yeah. Well, my son
but again,
did
it's
that.
A cover that, like, most stores... Like, who gets them... How do they get out there? You know what I
right.
mean? So many of them don't even get ordered because no store is ordering... Because, again, let's face it. Like, these aren't... It's not Batman, you know?
Right.
Like... I like Vampirella, I like Red Sonja, but I've got like 4 subscribers for those books. It's not like I'm going to order even one of each cover.
Right.
Because I'm not putting 30 copies of that on my stands, you know?
Right.
So, yes, the artist, and again, I guess the artist doesn't care because they get paid up front for their work, but...
They get paid up front, it gets to go into their
portfolio. I just don't see
portfolio.
How it's a sustainable model for Dynamite.
Right.
I never have understood how they can continue to pay... all these artists for variant covers that I think largely go unordered. But, you know, that's, I guess, neither here nor there.
Yep.
They seems to be the model that works for them, so I guess who am I to say?
It hasn't changed.
And it hasn't changed. As much as they promise us that it will, it hasn't.
Yep.
So. All right. Yeah, that is it for FOC. So, yeah, pretty short FOC. There was, like I said, lots of other stuff on there, but they weren't number ones or new series or anything.
Right.
So they just really weren't worth putting down. So,
all right, let's get to checkout then. We have 4 books this week, 2
yeah.
for each of us.
2 for each of us. So, yeah. So the first book I read. Now, again, I'll preface this by saying I read 2 DC books. Solely because I only had DC books.
See, that kind of disappoints me because one of your books I was hopeful for.
Yeah. again, and I'm not saying that we'll get to it in a minute. I'm not saying that these were good or bad or,
well, you're going
or
to.
Anything. I'm going to, but what I'm saying is I chose these books not because I was super excited to read both of them.
Right.
It's because I didn't have any other options. I would have much preferred to choose a couple of indie books. But anyway... all that being said, I read Generations Forged. It says issue number 1, but this should actually be issue number 3. Because
oh, really?
There was 2 other. Yeah, there was Generations Shattered, and there was a there was like 3
oh,
of
so
these.
Oh, so it's an ongoing story.
Well, there was 3 of these over the last couple of months. Again, this is the post death metal kind of lead into Infinite Frontier timeline that DC is going to follow. So this is really the conclusion of the Generations trilogy of books that have been out there. So if you're going to read this, you really wanted to read all three of these because the story, you know, picks up. It's
okay.
Basically, like I said, it's really three issues. I don't know why they had to all have different titles and different numbers, but and this kind of was a little anticlimactic for me because I read the PDF of Infinite Frontier number zero like 2 weeks ago, which takes place after this. So I kind of was reading it feeling like, well, I already know how this ended because I've read the next one already. But yeah, again, I'm just going to go back to my refrain with this is that I haven't been that impressed with these stories for the last couple of issues. I'm not 100% psyched about where this is leading. And this, you know, this was really no different. This was just the conclusion of the story that I wasn't really that into to begin with. But it really sets up what's coming. So all that being said, you know, by, you know, like my, kind of my feelings for it, if you're going to go forward reading these DC books and like the, this event that's coming up, you really want to pick this up and read it because it really explains where they're going and what's going on. Kind of the problem I had with it is just that I just don't feel like it does a great, like it feels very confusing and like disconnected. Like I just really had a hard time following what was going on and the reason why we were doing any of it. At the end of the day, when this ended, it seems like nothing's really changed. So I read these three books just to get where we already were anyways.
Right.
So I don't really know what the reasoning for it all. The biggest thing that came out of this was the very end where they explained how the, you know, I guess basically the Earth that our heroes live in, follows a linear timeline. And that was really their way of setting up how Batman and Superman could be 80 years old and still look like they're 25. It kind of explains how they've gone through all the decades and been the same person. So
what did they say? It's comics?
Well, it's a linear timeline. So basically what they're saying is that the people in that, and it's not just the heroes, it's basically everybody that lives in that timeline.
Right.
It just ages at a much slower rate. So Jimmy Olsen, Lois Lane, all of those people are all the same people that have been around, you know, for 75 years, but still look 25. I just felt that kind of stupid, to be honest with you. Like, I just don't know that we needed that. Like,
I was going to say, have a lot of people been asking?
I just feel like DC is going to so much trouble to try to reconcile all these timelines and all of that stuff. And I just don't think anybody's really confused or asking for it.
Right.
Like, as real-life individuals, we understand that these characters have been around for 80 years, but they're still 25 years old. We don't have to have this whole convoluted story explanation to explain to us why our characters look the same 80 years later.
Because they're characters.
Right. We just realize that they're characters in comics, and it doesn't have to play out in the story. And I feel like that's what all this was leading up to, was just the end of that, where they could say that. And I don't know. Like I said, hasn't been my cup of tea. You know,
fair, shouldn't Garfield be dead by now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cats don't live as long.
Right. It's just, like I said, it hasn't been my cup of tea. I don't understand the reasoning for any of the stuff they're doing, and I don't really love the direction that they're going with some of this stuff. So, there's a time and a place for these big, everybody's gonna save the universe events once every couple of years. But for the most part, I just want my monthly books to be monthly books, you know?
Right.
I want Batman to go punch the bad guys. Like, every issue, it seems like, of all these books, they have to save the entire universe from something all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just, for me, it's just overload. Like, I just want my street level Daredevil story and Batman story, and you know,
right?
They don't all have to be these giant epic events, and it feels like that's all DC's doing
lately.
And
yeah,
everything they're doing is just setting up the next one, and there's no room in there for just the stories,
right?
And I feel like, at least again, that's how I feel about the whole thing. Maybe everybody else does not, but this to me, if you've read the previous two, this is the same. If you liked them, you'll like this one. If you didn't really like them, this isn't going to do much to change your mind. It's just the required reading if you want to follow what's going on. So it's kind of like the Cliff Notes,
which has always turned me on to reading when you say the required reading. It's
exactly.
Like, oh God.
Yeah, exactly. So
all right, let's get to my first book, Nuclear Family Number One, Aftershock Comics, written by Stephanie Phillips with art by Tony Shastine. So this is exactly what it sounds like. Nuclear Family. It's America. Like, it takes place in 1957. And do you remember way back when I read The Lone Ranger, when we first started this podcast, and the feel that you got from that, I got from that. And I loved that. And this had that feel. It had the feel of like the 50s, of what those families were, what it was like. We grew up in the 70s, which wasn't far removed from that. Some of the stuff was still residual even in the 70s. So I really loved the feel of this book. It's a very, very quick read. It just, the artwork was, I thought, was perfect to give you that feel as well. And it just, the story is basically what it was like to live then, coming right out of World War II and the Korean War. And the guy's a car salesman and they're trying to get by, but they're living with the fact that, like, the bomb could go off. The bomb could be dropped. And then something happens and you're like, the worst thing you can imagine happens. And it just, and that doesn't ruin anything, but there isn't a ton of story here. But by the end of it, you absolutely will not be able to wait for the next book. You're like, what's going to happen next? Why are they doing this? What direction are they going in? Are they going to go in a comic book direction, or are they going to go in, like, you know what I mean by comic book story? Or are they going to go like a, I don't know, like a reality direction? I thought it was very well done, and I loved the feel of it. And I think for a lot of people, especially younger people, 30s on down, maybe even in your 20s and younger, this book here would be like, wow, that went on? Because some of the stuff in here did go on. It's like, that's how it felt. So I thought it's a very interesting read, and there was a feel in the 50s, 60s, even into the 70s, of this fear. And this nails it, and then the story takes off from there. Loved it. So,
very cool.
Yes. All right. Can't wait for you to read it.
Yeah. Yeah. I will when I get them.
Maybe by candlelight.
Maybe. Maybe. So the second book I read was Future State Superman, The House of L. Again, listed as issue one, but this is a one shot. So
yeah.
This was written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, and it had art by Scott Godlewski. Cover art by Yannick Paquette. So this takes place a couple hundred years in the future. This is kind of like the bloodline of Kal-El, you know, and what's gone on after his disappearance from their lives, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
So there's basically, you know, Superman has inspired a whole group of people to can carry on in his name and, protect the universe, you know. A lot of these are direct descendants of Kal-El. There's twins, Rowan and Ronan Kent, who are the descendants of Jonathan Kent. So basically they are faced with a a battle that they're getting ready for with somebody called the Red King. And, you know, he's coming basically to, you know, take over the universe, and they're trying to stop him. I actually kind of liked this book. And I think I liked it because I knew it was just a one shot. You know, it's like I haven't been into all the future state stuff.
Right.
You know, my opinion on that is pretty well known at this point. But this, to me, I don't even view it like, I don't know why it had to be future state specifically. This was just like an Elseworlds story. Like, you would have picked up, like, you know, Killing Joke or something like that. You know. So yeah, I kind of liked this story though. You know, there was a lot of you know, descendants from Superman, you know, with different lineage. Like, one was half Tamaranian, which is what Starfire is, you know, with like a Kryptonian father, and, you know, and there was a new Blue Lantern from, you know, the Blue Lantern Corps, who was also a descendant of Kal-El. So yeah, it was pretty cool. Well, you know, the foe ends up being somebody that you don't expect, which there's always that twist. But he's throwing all kinds of things at him, and, you know, he's throwing a bunch of doomsdays at him, so there's a whole bunch of doomsdays and things like that. Yeah, it was fun. You know, it wasn't super deep, you know, because it's just a one shot, so they can only go so deep into the individual characters. But there's enough there that you kind of, you know, get to know some of them, and you know, it's interesting to see what the lineage of Kal-El would be. So yeah, I thought it was fun. Again, I don't think it's ever going anywhere. This was just a story. But it was worth picking up. I kind of liked it. So
cool. That's, I mean, a plus one for future state for you. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So I liked that, and I liked Shazam, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Well, kind of is, but.
Well, it is bad, but.
All right.
But, yeah, I think I liked it, so.
Cool. You know what? I'll probably check it out.
Cool.
Okay, my next book, Stray Dogs Number 1 from Image Comics, written by Tony Fleece. Or Flex, F-L-E-E-C-S, okay. Art by him as well, by Tony as well. And this here is, it's Stray Dogs. And it do you like animals, John?
I've been known to like some here and there.
Yeah, and do you like when you watch a movie and something happens to the animal, are you more concerned for the animal or the humans in the movie?
Almost 100% of the time.
Exactly. Read this book. It looks like, if you look at the artwork of it and the artwork of the dogs, it almost feels like it's a kid's book.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would read this to kids, because it's scary. And it's from the dog's point of view. The story opens with, I can't remember the main character's dogs, the little dog. It's this little tiny white dog. She's cute as a button, and she's being taken to the vet, and the vet saying, like, dogs don't remember fear. They don't have fear of needles and stuff. They don't remember being here. But then you look at the dog's face and you're like, well, that's wrong.
Right.
The dog's scared.
Yeah, we make a lot of assumptions,
right?
As humans, but we don't really know.
We don't really know, right? But you look at this poor dog, and they're afraid of the needle, and it's so it goes on from there. That next thing you know, that this poor dog is in a strange house with a bunch of other dogs, and her owner, that was with her at the vet, isn't around.
Right.
The story takes off from there, and It is scary. It's a horror story drawn like a little kid's book. It's heart-wrenching because, like I said, we care more about our dogs than we do about other humans.
Right.
It's like, and to see what these dogs are going through, and especially this little dog, Sophie, that's her name. This little dog, it's so awful. And it's one of the taglines I saw for it was, it's Lady and the Tramp meets Silence of the Lambs.
There's two things you never thought you'd say in the same sentence.
I have to follow this. I guarantee you that if you read the book, you'll be like, I got to get the second one. I need to, because I just, you just want to see what happens to these poor dogs and Sophie. And she's, and Sophie. I want Jen to read it. I told her all about it, so she doesn't have to read it now, but I loved it. Another one. I thought this was fantastic. It's such a, really, it's kind of like I said, it's a kind of a creative story. Like you just said, like, when would you say, like, Lady and the Tramp and Silence of the Lambs? And
it never.
And that's not even a joke. That's exactly what it is. Right. It was great. Very creative idea. Very creative idea.
Yeah, I'll look forward to that one.
Check that out. And let's see, what else? Last week, what did I mention last week? I talked about Hollow Heart. You haven't gotten those books yet, have you?
I haven't gotten them, but I read that weeks ago.
Did you like it?
I didn't love it, honestly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't love it, but it was interesting for sure.
Yeah, like,
it's definitely an interesting idea. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'll probably read the second one just to see where it goes, but I was a little on the fence with it. It didn't really blow me away.
And what about Shadow Doctor?
I haven't read that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And did you get to read The Last Ronin, number 2?
I did. I read that digitally.
Oh, okay. That was good.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it
really was good. And when are we getting the next one? Like,
probably 2 months, I would imagine.
July?
Yeah. What is this? February?
February, April, so.
Probably. Yeah.
Maybe for my birthday?
Yeah, maybe. I don't think it'll be that long, but probably April.
Yeah. All right. And you didn't get a chance to read anything else. What else? Oh, I finished. What else? Ronin from AWA.
Oh, The Last Ronin. No, not The Last Ronin. American Ronin.
American Ronin, yeah.
Yeah. I finished that like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah. Really good.
Yeah, it was good.
That was crazy. Yeah, that was that last week? I think that came out last week.
I thought it was the week before, but maybe. Because I read it, so I don't...
Yeah, I thought that was last week. Yeah, I finished that. What else did I read today? Oh, yeah, and I also read the one we talked about earlier. Oh, mine's going blank right now. The one that got optioned for TV.
Department of Truth.
Department of Truth. I read that today, too. That, like I said earlier, that one's really good. Today's, you'll like it. It kind of goes in a different direction for a little bit, but you'll appreciate why. Cool. And again, it opens you up to a whole other world. Like, you know, this, for a TV show, they're going to get, after this book, after today's book, you'll be like, oh, this TV show can go on forever.
Right.
Like, literally. and it's that entertaining. All right, you ready to get into some real world?
Yeah.
All right, what do you have? It's been a couple weeks for you. We
it's
both
been a couple
have a
of
bunch.
Weeks, but I had some downtime too. So
that's true.
I don't have as much as you would think, but because I'm struggling to think of a bunch of stuff that I watched actually, but I know I finished Tiny World. So
oh, good. You beat me to the finish of that too.
Yeah, I had like 3 left on that, so I finished that. We started watching Van Helsing, which is a sci-fi original. Yeah. So, we're about a season and a half into it. We're halfway through season 2, I guess, at this point. I think there's 4 seasons and a 5th on the way. We've been enjoying it. I mean, it's a sci-fi show, so it has its share of bad acting and kind of cheesy, cheesy stuff happening. But you kind of get into it. Like, at this point now, I'm like, kind of really digging it. If you know the story at all, of course, it's vampires. Van Helsing is from the Dracula movie. It turns out to be this woman who ends up being a descendant of Van Helsing.
Yeah.
And
I think I started that.
Yeah, she... has some kind of she's kind of like the opposite vampire. She's got something in her DNA or her blood, and they haven't explained yet, but it seems like she's been experimented on or something. but she basically cures vampirism. So she bites a vampire and turns him back human. And ooh. So, of course, the vampires aren't down with that, so they're all hunting her, and she's with her ragtag team of people that are, you know.
So if they bite her, does she bite herself back?
No, if they bite her, she actually, they turn. So, like, it's something in her blood or her DNA, so.
Oh, even if they bite her, they'll turn?
If they bite her, they turn, yeah.
Oh. Very interesting.
Yeah, so she's like I say the anti-vampire, but.
Right. Can she only go out in the day?
Yeah. it's a sci-fi show. It's like one of those CW shows, you know, it has its share of bad in it, but it's pretty fun. Lydia and I are both enjoying it. Let's see. I started watching The Muppet Show on Disney Plus. I watched like 5 of those last night.
How's that?
It's great, man.
Is it?
It is so great, yeah. You know, I probably haven't seen The Muppet Show since the 70s.
Right, down in front of your TV on Sunday night or whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all these people that like were the biggest stars of 1977.
Right.
And none of them are alive today. But it was like, I think the premiere episode had Rita Moreno. And then they had Sandy Duncan and Jim Nabors and Ruth Buzzy. You know, so I'm watching all of these things. And, like, people that sat down to watch this today that are younger wouldn't know who any of these people are.
Right.
But the jokes still land, man. Like, it's actually really good.
To you.
It is, man. Yeah. I like it. It's still really funny. Like, some of the jokes are really good.
I'll have to check it out with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing. It's, you know, it's the Muppet Show, right?
So right.
It's got its share of bad also. Like, not every sketch is great, but some of it is pretty funny.
It's Muppets.
It's the Muppets. But what killed me is that Disney Plus has felt the need to put up a disclaimer in front of about 12 episodes talking about the insensitivity of the content.
And Muppets can be insensitive?
Yeah, that's my thing. I don't want to get into the whole thing.
Is it like Delirious? Like, obviously not as bad as Eddie Murphy, but it's that idea.
It's that idea. Like, the one episode so far that it showed up on had a reference to Indians, American Indians, and apparently that was viewed as offensive now. But, like, I don't know. When we've reached the point in our society where we have to put disclaimers in front of the Muppet Show, I think we've fallen a little bit far. But I'm not – look, I'm a white guy. I don't fall into any racial stereotypes, so – right. But I mean, I can't say what's offensive and what isn't to other people. But when we're taking offense at the Muppet Show.
Well, I don't think people are taking offense. I don't know what did they actually say about Indians?
Even remember what the line was. There was a line.
Was it derogatory or was it just Indians?
There was a line in a song that one of the Muppets sang. And when they said it, some Muppet dressed as an Indian popped into the screen, and it was so innocuous and so harmful. Like, honestly, I can't see the offense, but I'm not American Indian, so I don't know. But it wasn't offensive in any way that I could see. But, like, I know one of the episodes has Johnny Cash, and he's singing in front of the Confederate flag, and so that episode got a disclaimer because it features an image of the Confederate flag. And that is a trigger to a lot of people.
Well, I could see like something like that. I could see because you don't want little kids seeing it and then having to explain it. So it's just easier for parents to wait till the kids are older to be like, this is why. You know what I mean?
But in 1977, the intent of that sketch, there was no malicious intent.
No.
In any way, shape, or form by that. It's not like Song of the South or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, but John, here's an example I think you would you could appreciate is when we were kids, if I saw something on the Muppet Show at 7 years old, you and I especially had the ability to go to school and be doodling and we're drawing the Confederate flag.
Right.
Right? Not that we did that then, or maybe we did. I don't know. I drew the General Lee. But
right.
If you did that now, if a kid didn't know, or if that disclaimer was, I hate to say it, but to say I'm just sticking up for the disclaimer, but in that situation, it might save you a lot of headache if you're able, all right, I don't want my kid to see that, because it's not that it's offensive to me or to any, whatever, right. But it's a lot easier to just avoid it at that age and then to have to explain to your child why you can't draw the Confederate flag. Don't pay attention to that. When if you never said anything and just plopped your kid down and he goes off and he starts drawing like that flag as a doodle in school, what happens? You see what I mean? I can
right,
see that.
But here's the thing too. Like, this disclaimer only appears on 12 of the 122 episodes total
right.
of The Muppet Show, right? I would say, at least in the five that I've watched, the Swedish Chef has appeared in all five episodes. That is a pretty bad stereotype of Swedish people, right? But they're not putting the disclaimer up
for him.
For him on every no. episode. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well,
like
yet. Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, in any case, I watched The Muppet Show. It's great. I laughed several times. I don't know that I'll be able to get through all 122 of them. Like, it was fun watching a few last night.
Right.
But I may go through and pick and choose the guests that I like, because I'm not the biggest fan
oh, yeah.
of Ruth Buzzy or Jim Nabors or Sandy Duncan. but I'll go and watch the Star Wars episode, and I'll watch...
Yep.
The Elton John and, you know, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'll go through and pick and choose because that's a lot of Muppets to get through.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. And then, like, other than that, you know, we really just watch some of our, like I said, our regular weekly shows, you know, Good Doctor and 911 and all that stuff. We didn't really get into any other series or movies or anything.
Oh.
So...
So you weren't able to check out The Crew on Netflix?
No.
The Kevin James one I talked about last week?
I know you talked about, yeah. We're already into
Van Helsing. I can't wait for you to see that one.
Yeah, so.
I can't wait for you to see that one.
I watched the premiere episode for All Mankind. I don't know. Did you watch season two?
Did you watch season one of that? I didn't yet, no.
Okay, yeah.
Season two just started,
and again, I guess I kind of forgot the Apple Plus model, but I was thinking I was going to watch the whole thing, and there was only one episode. So
right.
that actually made it better. It was a lot more digestible because there was only one episode.
Right.
But yeah, that was a really great show. If you didn't watch it, I won't say too much, but there's a huge time jump between season one and season two.
Yeah.
It jumps ahead about 25 years or so.
Oh,
or
cool.
20 years, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I'll have to catch up on that.
That was good. Good show. And then, of course, we watched WandaVision, so.
Cool. You all caught up on Big Sky?
Yeah.
Last week? Ended in,
yeah.
it dropped while you had no power, actually.
Yeah, watched it. Actually, we watched that at my mom's.
Yeah,
Tuesday.
And
night.
How
yeah.
they at the end they had their because they're on a hiatus or whatever. But
yeah,
they did their little video montage of everybody that's been killed so far.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my god! And it like
it's most of the show, really.
Yeah, that I was talking with my dad about it over the weekend. He asked me, he's like, "Have you seen that show? Like, you know, Huge Blue or whatever, Big Sky, whatever." I'm like, yeah, Big Sky.
Big Blue Marble. Have you watched that?
Yeah. He goes, "They'll kill everybody."
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, they opened the show with a really sudden death, and then they just, you know, did their
and
spring
he keeps showing up on all the marketing, which I don't understand at all.
I know.
He was in it for like 20 minutes,
right?
But he shows up on all the posters.
Yeah, like Steven Seagal in Executive Decision,
right?
Yeah, 5 minutes in, bye bye. Spoilers if you haven't seen Executive Decision.
Yeah, a 25-year-old movie.
25? That might be 35.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, Big Sky is such a great, great show.
And it really is.
Yeah, I went to put it on today, as a matter of fact. Jen and I were trying to watch it from last night, and we're like, oh, they're on hiatus. That explains the video montage.
Right.
We did see Palmer.
Yeah, I heard Apple you mention TV. That last
yeah.
week.
Yeah. Really good.
Yep.
Really good. And we saw On the Rocks with Bill Murray.
I had watched that too. I watched it back.
I thought you did. I thought you had recommended it a while ago.
Yeah,
that
it was
one was
good. I liked it. Yeah. And it's Bill Murray,
he's great.
Yeah, Bill Murray's always great.
Deathstroke Knights and Dragons. Did you see that?
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's on HBO Max.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Pretty good. For an animated, that was pretty good.
Oh, hey, speaking of HBO Max, I not to interrupt you, but I saw that they started voice work for Harley Quinn season 3 this week.
Oh, awesome.
So that confirms that we're getting a Harley Quinn season 3. Because I don't think we knew for sure that we had asked about it.
I thought they dropped that when DC made their small appearance in DC Fandom.
Oh.
I thought
maybe
they had
might. I know we talked about it not too long ago that we weren't, we were wondering.
She was a huge part of DC Fandom. Remember, Harley Quinn introduced a lot of stuff in that. And I thought that was something in DC Fandom that said that we would be getting a 3.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
And I thought there were rumors of a 4 as well.
Was excited to know that they were back.
But that
to
is
work.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Also on HBO Max, Jen and I checked out Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that, but I haven't seen it yet.
Good. Very scary. Just a scary time.
And yeah, we'll watch. Yeah, we'll
sad
watch
story. I mean, obviously, true story.
Right.
But obviously, you're going to watch it all the way to the end. I'm sure you don't know the story, but by the end, when you get your little where are they nows at the end, I mean, the whole thing is like, it's just heartbreaking, but you're like, ugh.
Yeah, can't wait to see that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And another one. That was gut wrenching. I Care a Lot.
I've heard good things about that too.
Oh my God! Yeah. Rosamund Pike.
Yeah,
she was the lawyer in Jack Reacher.
Yeah, well, she's Gone the lead Girl. In the Wheel of Time series that is going to be on Amazon Prime. Yeah,
she is unreal in this and that. She plays this woman that she preys on the elderly, and she is ruthless, and it is awful. And I said to Jen, I was so uncomfortable watching this that you're like, so do you remember the Stephen King TV special, Storm of the Century?
Yes.
Where the devil comes and you got to give him. And then the town, votes to decide instead of walking into the ocean, which had happened for centuries and centuries. And here we are at the last time the devil would have died and the town voted to give up a child.
Right.
That has stuck with me. And we had literally Joe was probably a year old. So like we had a child that was, and I'm like, how could you ever do that? You would never give up a child, never do that. Right. And the ending of that was sickening. Well, here we are, 20-something years later, and our parents are this age, and this woman, to me, is like the devil.
Right.
Like, the entire way through this movie, you just want bad things to happen to her. And you're like, she is ruthless. And the story gets a little bit wonky you're like, come on, really? Why would you do? But you're just so invested in seeing something happen to her. And it's by the end of the movie, what's his name's really good too. From Game of Thrones.
I'm not sure. Cause I'm not sure who else is in it. Honestly.
The little person.
Oh,
yeah. What do you call him?
Tyrion.
That's not his name, but
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah. Peter Dinklage. He's awesome in it too. He's really good in this. And like Rosemary, she is so good though. She's just like, you just hate her so much and you got to see it. It's such a good movie. And it's sickening and it's scary to think like you see in what she's doing and you're like, that's gotta be possible. It's just, ugh. I know not comic book related, but oh man, just eats at you. So.
Right.
That's all I got.
Yeah, I'll have to check both of those out.
Check that out. Yeah. check that out. All right. You ready to get to some WandaVision?
Sure.
WandaVision! All right. Spoiler free the last couple weeks. What do you think? Is it okay?
I mean, I'll stick with it till the end.
Holy cow. I think, honestly, last week when we couldn't record, I'm like, that's what I was disappointed the most about. I mean, you and I had a little bit of a conversation, what we could have, but that's what I was disappointed the most. Yeah. I'm like, there's so much going on. They're doing such a great job. You're seeing more and more people on social media, like, just watched Age of Ultron. It's like everybody's
going back.
I know.
Now I'm kind of wanting to go back and watch it again myself. But.
Exactly. I'll tell you, there's not a ton.
I don't know really what I expect to get out of it, you know, because
you don't get a lot, but it's better.
Yeah, they've moved pretty far away from Ultron, you know. But I'm wondering, right, I don't think watching Ultron is going to make WandaVision better. I think WandaVision makes watching that movie better.
It does. It absolutely does. It made that movie seemed like out of place, and now it seems like such an integral part of the MCU. And you're like, because it's the origin or the closest we have to the origin so far of her. And, you know, it's everything that's going on, how they're rewriting all of these characters. You know, I have a feeling, I don't know if we've talked about, maybe we did. I don't know if we talked about it on air or off, whatever. But I have a feeling there's going to be a letdown to Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this. I think so, too, because I just don't feel like it's going to give us the same week-to-week conversation that this has.
Right.
It feels much more like a buddy cop, Lethal Weapon kind of, you know, it's action-packed every week, and it's going to be good, and I think we're going to have fun, but
right.
We're not going to be trying to decipher the mystery of Falcon Winter Soldier every week, you know what I mean? It feels like it's very much on Front Street, like what you see is what you get. And
right.
Like I said, I think it's going to be very fun, but it's not going to be nearly as good as WandaVision, at least to me. But again, I said that going into this, like of all the shows that were coming up, this is the one I was most looking forward to because I felt like it was going to be kind of exactly what it is, you know? And I think Loki has the potential to be a similar show, but I don't think Falcon Winter Soldier does.
Right. I mean, Loki, even the way we lost, like, not lost Loki, I was going to say lost Loki, but the way Loki disappeared in Endgame and, like, kind of, like, slithered away.
Right.
In a way, it's like that kind of lends to something like this. Like, where does he pop up? Where in time, in history, whatever he's going to do? That's pretty interesting. So that could bend the MCU. I just don't see Falcon Winter Soldier bending the MCU. And that's going to be a shame.
Right.
Because it's a letdown by default.
Right, it is, but not every show we watch has to have long-lasting implications to the MCU, you know what I mean? Like, there's room for shows to just be what they are and be fun, you know?
Right.
I don't think they all have to have... It's kind of like going back to what I was complaining about with the DC comics. Like, not every show has to be, like, world-bending, you know? There's room for shows like Falcon Winter Soldier. But I think... Especially since we're going basically right into it with only a week off, we're probably going to be looking for more than what we get, you know?
Right. I don't know. I got so much more to say. I think we should hold that off for spoilers.
Yeah.
And that should be it. Let's draw it there because I'm about to like just spill out here.
All right.
I got questions for you and I got points to make and I'm sure you do too. So, all right. What do we got coming up next week? Haha, I surprised you.
You did. Well, I know for a fact we get Noctera number one, comes out next week. So that's the Scott Snyder book, which should be, it shouldn't be. I've already read it, so I know it's pretty good. You'll definitely want to pick that up. We also get Berserker number one. So I haven't had a chance to read this, but obviously there's tons of hype surrounding this book. Can't wait to read it, honestly. I hope it's good. I really hope it's good because I'm really excited for it. We get Batman 106, so woo-hoo! You know, kind of our first post-Future State book. This is the first appearance of another punchline-type character, Molly something. I can't remember exactly what it is, but James Tynan is already...
Molotov?
Molotov. Has already put the word out that this is the kind of like the next character that's going to play an important role for Batman going forward. So if you're not already picking this up, you definitely want to. And again, it's kind of like a jumping on point because we had the break and, you know, we've got a new direction with Ghostmaker and Batman and all this stuff coming up.
Yeah.
So, definitely looking forward to that. And then Infinite Frontier number zero. So,
alrighty.
Yeah, I'm not going to say much more than that, but again, it is the setup for everything we're going to get from DC going forward for a while. So, despite my feelings for this book, it's probably, you know, something you need to pick up and read just so you know what's going on.
Right.
So that's
it. Okey-dokey.
Yep.
All right, that'll do it. We will be, obviously, we're going to be doing Kryptonite in a few seconds here. But if you're not following WandaVision and you're saving it all up, I don't know why you're doing that. But we'll get into more WandaVision in a second. But in the meantime, you can check us out on Twitter at brightside_chat. Send us messages. Let us know what you're up to. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. And check out us and all the other great podcasts at nerdylegion.com. You can go there and actually check out our very first podcast, John.
You can.
Not a recommendation.
I don't know why you'd want to, but you can.
You can. Yeah. We have come a long way. Look how great we are. We're so professional now.
Yeah. Yeah. So great. So great.
This episode. Oh, man. If they only knew what a mess this episode is.
Yeah, I know. We've started and stopped like 6 times. So, and this is still what you got. So imagine that.
Exactly. So, all right. That'll do it. We'll be back next week. And we also got Kryptonite coming up. Take it easy.
We do. Autobots, roll out.
I was wondering if you're going to get that in.
You thought I forgot, but I didn't.
I did. Hey, Fred. All right, John, is the door locked?
It is locked.
All righty.
It's hermetically sealed.
Can't breathe. All right. What do you got? All right. I've been dying to talk to you about this one all week.
Okay.
Jen,
let's start there.
Yes, Jen and I started the show back up because she didn't want to. I said, you got to check this out.
I made her.
I made her. And she loves it. She's very invested, loves it. But I watched the first two inside of the first two episodes, I'd seen something that I was like, uh-oh. And I actually came out and I had to talk to Joe and Jen was there, and I had to talk to him in code because I didn't want to ruin episode 7.
Right.
But he was like, oh my God, that's... So, the bunny. Have you seen anything on it? I haven't seen anything on this yet.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Agatha Harkness in the comics has a son whose name is Nicholas Scratch.
Yeah.
The bunny's name is...
Scratchy,
right? So the theory is that, number one, so you never see Pietro and Scratch in the same place at the same time, kind of like the Clark Kent Superman thing.
Okay.
The theory is that that's her son. you know, the rabbit and Pietro and all that is Nicholas Scratch.
I got another one for you. Have you ever heard the term the rabbit gun died?
Well, yeah.
From Aerosmith?
Well, yeah. I mean, I know.
But you also know what it means.
I know what that, yes, I know what that refers
it
to.
It means a woman's pregnant.
Right.
She brought the rabbit over to Wanda right before she got pregnant. They used that rabbit. Wanda used that rabbit in the act. At the end of that episode, she's pregnant.
Right.
You never see the rabbit again until episode 7. And then when you see it, the boys are gone.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Like, what is she doing with the boys? Are the boys real?
I think so. Because what, the boys, like, are real in the comics. Like, those are real characters. I think the boys are here to stay.
That's what I'm hearing. I've been hearing rumors that they're going to be big characters going forward. They're going to be this. But the rabbit, that is a real thing. Because I looked at, when I saw that, I even said to Jen, and I'm like, have you ever heard the rabbit died and that's how they know you're pregnant? And so I Googled it, and I'm like, that's a thing.
Yes, that used to be a pregnancy test.
Yeah, they had to kill the rabbit.
In the olden days, they killed the rabbit to test for pregnancy.
To test it. And it was, that's how they did it. And so then it became like, oh, if the rabbit died, it meant you were pregnant, which the irony was the rabbit died either way, because that's how they tested it.
The rabbit was dead regardless.
Right. But that's what it became. There was a connotation between pregnancy and rabbits.
Right.
And she shows up with the rabbit, and now the rabbit doesn't show up again in the entire series until the boys disappear.
Right.
And they only disappeared at the end. They were there at the same time with the rabbit. So I'm not saying the rabbit is the boys. But I'm like, is there symbolism here? Did she get rid of them? Did she impregnate with her magic Wanda?
Oh, I think absolutely.
You know what I mean? And that's what that symbol was. That rabbit was her doing that. And then
I think absolutely she did, because Vision can't conceive. You know, like those kids weren't conceived through intercourse, through sex. I mean, they were.
How does that work, John?
Right. They were magic. Well, but I'm just saying they were magically conceived. So I absolutely think that she impregnated Wanda. I don't know. Like, I think the rabbit, the symbolism, especially because of the name, Scratchy, I think it really has more to do with the sun, but
that's again, a good, I hadn't heard that one.
Who knows?
I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah.
But I want to see if that rabbit has anything to do with, because I mean, I didn't think when it all played out this way, I'm like, that can't be a coincidence that you have, rabbit means pregnancy. Rabbit shows up, she gets pregnant. And then the boys, then the rabbit, that it's there's something going on there. And then we'll jump right to the end there. When Wanda goes into the basement and she goes downstairs and she walks through that, into that dungeon area.
Right.
That opens up and she's now out. Every time you step outside the hex, you get the black bars at the top and the bottom of your screen.
Right.
To show you're in the MCU now or whatever, but you're outside Westview or whatever the name of the town is, right?
Right.
So she wanders into that dungeon area and those black bars on the top and bottom of your screen slowly come in.
Right.
Right as she walks into that tunnel. So you're outside of the hex there.
Right.
Are you there or is that a portal? Is that, are you out? Where are you?
Right.
I think that's very important going forward. And obviously you saw the mid-credit scene.
Yes.
That they had this week, which did you read about that or did you?
I read about it because I have been conditioned to not watch the credits.
See, I had been too, but for one reason, I just scanned. I took my Apple remote and I went, oh, there is something. And I found it. And I was like, oh, wow, there's an end credits, a mid credits actually. Right. And it wasn't huge.
It wasn't. And I'll be honest with you. I had to rewind it about 6 times because I was trying to figure out what the hell Pietro was saying. And I never did figure it out. Like, I know now what it was, but I determined that he wasn't speaking English, that it was just some kind of devil speak, right?
No.
Because I couldn't figure out what he was saying.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith told me, and so now I know, but...
I don't remember. I never
it's Snooper's
going to
Snoop.
Yeah, Snooper's going to Snoop.
I couldn't
understand. I never had a problem with it. Oh, that's funny.
I did it. I could not understand what he was saying. It just felt like Beelzebub. It just felt like
he
was speaking gibberish. And I rewound it several times. But, like I said, Kevin Smith, he called me up and told me. So,
that was nice of him.
Yeah.
So is he good or bad?
I was wondering. Well, I think he's Agatha's son.
Because it doesn't have to be timely. Because that's the end. Because she had the rabbit in the dungeon area there when she went down to talk to Wanda.
Right.
But because that doesn't have to be the same time.
The other thing is, when we first meet Pietro, two or three episodes ago or whatever it was, we see him at the door and we only see his front, right? But then when we get the montage in episode 7, we see his back and we see the purple swirly smoke or whatever that's on him. So, clearly he is not actually Pietro, right? Like he's conjured or.
How does he get all that information?
Here's the question I have though. Like if he is actually not Pietro, if he is conjured by Agatha, why that version is the question I have. Because if you're trying to bring back Pietro, why wouldn't you bring back the Pietro that Wanda recognizes? Why would you change him, if it's magic,
right?
Into somebody else? But, so there's still that one part of me that thinks maybe it is Pietro pulled from another timeline. But I don't know. I'm really, after I heard the Nicholas Scratch theory, that kind of makes sense to me. So I'm kind of going with that. But, because I had to do a little bit of a deep dive on Agatha because, she is not like a main character. Like, she is definitely down the alphabet when it comes to tiers of characters in Marvel, So I did a little reading to see, some of that. Like, I've read books with her in it before, but I didn't really know everything that surrounded her. And she actually plays a pretty big part in Wanda's life in the comics. So
yeah.
It makes sense for her to be here in the show. I ultimately still don't think she is the main bad guy, though.
No,
there's
I was
going to
get to that.
Somebody else still pulling the strings.
Well, because earlier, remember when Monica gets thrown out, right? And she lands outside the Hex. They end that episode, or maybe they open the next episode or whatever, with her going, it's Wanda. It's all Wanda.
Right.
It's all Wanda. Well, they just ended this episode with, it's all Agatha. It's all Agatha. And it's not. There's no way it's all her. Because what would her motivation be? I mean,
it could be, but there's got to be a
bigger motivation here, because there's something going on with Vision. I think Vision is the ultimate piece that people are looking for. Or at least that was said in this episode here.
Well, he's the piece that Sword's concerned about, right? Or Hayward is like...
Right. But
he's not concerned for anything that's going on in there, really. He's just trying to retrieve his weapon. So...
Right, which was said in this that they were trying to re-weaponize him.
Right.
But I have a feeling like somebody is manipulating Wanda. This is all coming down to manipulate Wanda to get Vision back. Cause otherwise, that was the other thing in the very first episode when you're watching that one. Go back and just watch that. It's only 20 minutes long, right? The very first episode, neither of them have a clue why they're there. even Wanda is in the dark. Because remember the first episode, they didn't know what the heart meant on the calendar. Right. They don't, the two of them are looking at each other like, what am I doing here? And it was very weird. I know we were all enamored with, hey, a new series and this and that. So you're not really, you don't know what you're looking for. But if you go back and watch that episode now, you're blown away because she's just as lost as Vision is. And if you went, you know, if we had done that at episode 5 or something, and you'd be like, wait a minute, how is Wanda pulling all the strings when she was lost at the beginning?
Right.
But you and I have been saying all along, I mean, we thought it was Agatha. It wasn't all just her, especially when they did that one, when Vision had that guy at work and he kept, he opened his mind up or whatever. And the guy's like, you got to stop her. She's doing all this. She's doing everything or whatever, but she never says who. And Vision says like, who's doing it? But then when Vision runs into Agatha, Agatha just flat out comes out and goes, it's all Wanda. Wanda's doing everything here. So, I mean, you knew it was, I was actually surprised. Were you surprised that they dropped all this already? They revealed Agatha already?
Well, no, not really. But I feel like they dropped her. I feel like they revealed her in episode 7, because there's still another reveal to come.
Exactly.
And that's why, you know, they, because if it was ultimately just her, I think they would have held off at least another week before we got the reveal. But, again, that's not a huge, like, this was the worst kept secret in the MCU, right? Like, everybody knew this was Agatha. You know, like, we've been talking about that since week one. The question was, like, what was her role in all of it? You know, like everybody's been talking about Mephisto again since week one, and I've been kind of adamant in my thinking that it's not Mephisto, like it couldn't be Mephisto. But you know, going back on my deep dive on Agatha, like there's a lot of ties between her and Mephisto, and she actually does a lot of.
People were saying that,
right? She does a lot of things for him in the comics, so now I'm a little bit more unsure that. Maybe it is Mephisto after all. Because again, we also have never met her husband Ralph, right? That she talks about.
I was trying to think of what Ralph could stand for, like an acronym or something.
Yeah, I don't know what it would stand for
Ralph
either,
all the time.
But they say, because here's the other thing too that I heard. Well, actually, Kevin Smith said this, but you know, like witches are considered. Like creatures of the dark, right?
Yeah.
Not all witches, like again, you know, there's Wiccans and stuff, but like the evil witches are considered like the,
yeah,
you know,
the ones that ride on the brooms.
Right. So they say, like, the saying is that, like, the nun, like a nun is married to Christ, right?
Yeah.
So the reverse of that would be the witch would be married to the devil.
The devil. Right.
So her referring to her husband, Ralph, could mean, you know, she's referring to her husband, the devil. So that makes a lot of sense to me, too. And that's kind of what brought me around to thinking, you know, maybe it is Mephisto. I still feel like that's a huge reveal for a show like this. Because Mephisto is arguably even more powerful than Thanos. Or, you know, it's the devil.
Right.
So that's a huge villain to introduce in, like, in a Disney Plus show. But they've kind of gone out to say that this is their priority. So maybe this is where we're going to get the biggest reveals going forward, you know?
Yeah. I thought we had heard that the end of this show is going to like change.
Well,
the
right.
MCU.
They've been saying that, like, you'll never look at the MCU the same way again, but I don't feel like that's because they revealed a villain. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But so
I still think there's going to be something is going to be fundamentally changed in the MCU in the next 2 weeks.
Well, here's where I think, because Jen had this question and Joe and I have been talking, you and I have talked about it. But Jen had the question. She's like, so S.W.O.R.D., they've been around? I was like, yeah, they've been around forever. And just that reveal alone changes the MCU, because they've been in the background of everything that's gone on.
Right.
Well, with the probably the exception of Captain Marvel, right? Because S.W.O.R.D. was probably founded after Captain Marvel.
Yeah, it was founded after S.H.I.E.L.D., so.
Right. So, but they've been around for Iron Man on, they've been around the MCU. What if we find out, what if there's another reveal at the end of this series that, like they just did with Agatha, just in this series, what if Mephisto's been pulling strings and they found a way to go in and change different parts of different movies?
Well, you know what I heard? I heard somebody said how Mephisto has appeared in every single Marvel movie to date. He's Stan.
Ooh.
Imagine if Stan is Mephisto.
Oh, no.
And he has been in every Marvel property since the beginning. How awesome would that be? I don't think they're going to turn Stan into Mephisto, but when I heard
that'd be awful.
I was like, that is the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Like, that would be the best thing they could do, right? Ugh. And then that would mean Stan could live on in all the other things going forward.
Wow. Yeah, as a bad guy.
Yeah, as the bad guy.
As not a bad guy, the bad guy.
The bad guy, right? The baddest of guys.
But you know what I mean? Like, if they have a reveal at the end of episode 9 where he has changed parts of the MCU, or you'd be like, what? And now you have to go. People are already doing it, and we haven't even gotten to the end yet. So it's there's so many things. What was that? There was another one.
I want to know where my 1 hour episode was, though. Like, I think the
next two are supposed to be 1 hour.
I was sorely disappointed when that thing ended at 30 minutes because I was told that it was going to be an hour. I thought Kevin Feige came out and said explicitly that the last three episodes were all an hour each.
Really?
And I was like, well, we got 30 minutes of show and 30 minutes of credits, I guess, because that was definitely
wasn't that almost 40
minutes?
No, it was like
30
minutes.
It was a little bit longer. It was like 36 minutes or something, but it definitely wasn't 60.
So, right.
Maybe the last two will be hours, but I don't know. I was like, oh, well, we get the It's Been Agatha All Along song. And now we're going to get like 20 more minutes of episode, but we did not. So,
yeah, I'm wondering
how great was that too. Like that was awesome.
The monsters thing.
Yeah, like I've been singing that song in my head for a couple days. You know,
I guess it's taken off. It's
yeah, like and then they were talking like about TikTok. It on the Ralph Report today. Yeah, that it's all over the place. But actually, I thought that whole episode. I loved the like what's her name, Elizabeth Olsen. She nailed Julie Bowen.
Yes.
Like, she was definitely Claire. Like, it was uncanny. Like, she really, really nailed her, which was awesome.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Her reactions to things, the way she said, I mean, she was really, really good. Like, even Joe was like, he loves that show. I'm not huge into Modern Family.
Yeah.
I watch it because the family watches it. But Joe was like, oh my, she's dead on.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
he was impressed with the sets too.
Paul did a pretty good fill, but she was great as Claire. Like it was so good.
Yeah,
you know,
I liked when he was in front of the cart, the whatever, the circus vehicle, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's sitting in the like director's chair and he's got the microphone on him.
Yeah,
he's doing the interview and he's like, what am I here? Why am I talking to you? And did you notice that at the same time that he says, why am I talking to you? Is when he flies out of he flies away from, what's her
Darcy?
Name?
Darcy. Yeah.
Darcy.
Yeah.
So it's like at the same
thing.
Time.
He's like, why am I sitting here? You know,
why am I sitting here talking to you when he just flies away? Like, I don't have to wait for this traffic. I can fly.
You know what I thought was great, but a little weird too, was like when she's in the truck with Vision, she says, I've been watching WandaVision all along. And he didn't even blink. He never asked her what WandaVision was, or you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It was like, he never even questioned what she said. And I was like, well, why would he not ask what the hell she was talking about? You know what I mean?
But you notice that she said like 7 days, and that's the seventh episode. So each one of these episodes
was
a day.
Yeah.
Where, and like when Vision says, like, you know, I don't have any memory of this, but for her, it was just weeks ago.
Right.
And, but did she didn't die in, did she die in the snap?
Who?
Wanda? Yeah.
I don't recall. Honestly, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I don't think she did, though. Well, maybe she did, because when we did, like, the 5-year time jump in Endgame, she wasn't around.
She wasn't around.
Yeah, so she must have snapped away.
She must have watched him die, snapped away. So literally, this
right,
is
so she feels like it just happened.
Right.
Yeah, so, because she would have been snapped back in the same time as Monica and everybody else.
Yeah, so. Right. Yeah, because she wasn't around to help them fight, fight or get go through time or any of that stuff.
Right,
so.
She wasn't there. So she was definitely snapped
right.
away.
So right, she was snapped away. So it's literally been a month since she saw him die.
Right.
So that's pretty bad. And it's the timeline on all this is pretty cool, too. How they've incorporated all of that in to... I know it stinks to bring it up, but imagine if COVID hadn't happened and this was in a more timely manner and we had Black Widow and we had, I mean, what,
right.
But this is so much fun. So much fun.
Yeah.
You got really anything great. Else?
No, not really. I mean, just waiting, just strapped in for the ride, you know, for the end.
Friday.
Can't wait to see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm going to be really disappointed. Like, I'm going to miss this show. Not that we can't go back and watch it. You know, it's always going to exist.
I highly recommend going back and checking out 1, 2, especially. You'll see stuff that you were just
I keep saying I'm going to, and I haven't yet. But at this point, I'll probably just wait till it's done, and then I'll go back and kind of binge it again. And see what I missed.
I said to Jen, like, watching it again with Jen was kind of interesting because... I did kind of get the feel of what it's like to be, it's not as fun, I don't think, to binge it because she was just like, okay, let's go to the next one. And I'm like, you're missing out on the entire, like, let's stop for a second and talk about what you just saw.
Right.
And she's like, no, let's go to the next one.
Right. Nah. There's no need to. We can just watch it, you know?
Right. She's like, it's right there.
I think, we talked about it two weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
The people that don't watch it weekly, in the end, are going to miss a little bit, you know.
Miss the fun.
I
think. And that's what this one was made for. And
right.
God, I got my fingers
again,
crossed.
Again, we probably won't feel the same about Falcon and Winter Soldier.
That's what I'm saying. I've got my fingers crossed.
That's one that you could probably just binge and not even think about it, you know.
Right.
But this one here, I think it really lends itself to watching it episodic, you know.
Well. We only got two left, so if you listen to this, obviously.
Yeah, then
you're
we'll
going
have no choice except
you're
to
with
binge
us.
It,
yeah. Know. So, all right. That'll do it.
I think so.
Till next week. That's a good episode.
Time.
We got through everything, I think.
Well, definitely.
All right. See you next week.
All right. Take care, everyone.
We got to do our open. What do you want to name it?
I don't know, the Blizzard of 2021.
Not what I did last week.
Oh, I don't know. Did you?
Yeah, special Blizzard report aftershock.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to name it after any of the two books I read. So.
All right. Which one sounded better to you that I did?
Well,
Nuclear Family or Stray Dogs?
Probably Stray Dogs. I think. Well, that's the one I'm more interested in of the two.
Okay, let's do that one.
So,
I'll ask you that too. We'll do that right on there.
All right.
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number 122, Stray Dogs, number one from Image Comics. Oh, let's try that again.
Yeah. Since you already gave it away. You took the whole bit away.
Stupid. Oh, I'll talk to you about it after. Let's get this done. Take two.
Take two.
Oh, that's good. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
All right, try that again.
Pull yourself together, man.
I'm trying. I know. I'm only wasting my own time. I got work.